In 1957, the year your daughter Katrina was born, you worked with a very inspiring man, Josh Lederberg. You've described this period working with him as a golden time.
We had a lot of foreign input into the Hall Institute. There were always postdoctoral visitors from overseas, but this was a visitor of very special note because he was a 33-year-old man who was actually the father of modern genetics. His name was Josh Lederberg. He hailed from Madison, Wisconsin at that time, and he ended up spending most of the 3 months working with me.
And what was great about that for you?
I was investigating this pretty crazy theory of Burnett's. Its technical name is the clonal selection theory, which was an entirely new way of looking at the immune response. It was a way that said the cell knows what antibody it's going to make before you introduce the vaccine. It was a so-called selective theory. I thought this is a pretty crazy theory, but I can figure out a way at least of disproving it. So that involved getting a single cell into a little tissue culture micro droplet. It involved micro manipulation. And the good fun thing was that I'd known from reading his papers that Lederberg knew how to do micro manipulation. So his actual input into the project was to teach me how to do micromanipulation, and then unfortunately he had to leave before any good results came in. But we were able to go on to prove that one cell always only made one antibody, and that was really the first step towards the validation of the clonal selection theory.
And why is that important?
It led us to an understanding of how the system worked. The system works by pressing a trigger in a cell that already has the genetic capacity to make the antibody that we want.
An antibody being the cell that your body creates to fight infection.
Exactly, exactly. Technically, we call a vaccine substance an antigen. An antigen enters the body. 7-10 days later, out comes an antibody, which you will usually get from the bloodstream, from the serum. And it is that antibody which fights infections. I mean, you don't get tetanus again, you don't get measles again. In my case, amazingly, I got diphtheria a second time, but that is very, very rare because the diphtheria antigen that all our infants get prevents them getting diphtheria or tetanus or whooping cough or any of these other things. So the antibody has recognition capability. And that recognition capability can be harnessed for very practical medical purposes. And of course, the other thing that's important for the listeners to be aware of is that one discovery usually isn't the end point. You know, it opens a lot of doors. And if I can tell you that I've published something over 500 papers, and most of them are in the field of immunology, and they did make a contribution to our increasing understanding of how the immune system works. My next set of discoveries related to this phenomenon we call immunological tolerance. Why does the body attack viruses and bacteria but doesn't attack itself? And I've had a long interest in that. And I suppose my third set of discoveries relate to another fairly exotic phenomenon. Why do you take your kiddies along to get a booster shot of vaccines? Why won't one vaccine shot do? Well, that's what we call immunological memory. Antibodies get better with the larger number of injections. And I figured out how that works through discovering a special kind of cell to go with my wonderful colleague, Gordon Ader, that is really the generator of that immunological memory. So the work goes on. It doesn't just stop with one little breakthrough and then you retire.
And is that exciting when you have those breakthroughs?
No question. This research work is exciting, although it is 90% perspiration. And 10% inspiration, or maybe even 99 to 1.